All right. Did you guys hear them during the prayer? They're like, hey, what happened? Danny up here, the only reason he survived was because I promised him he got to go to his church after we were done. So he's like, I just, it's funny. Good morning. How are you guys? Good day? Raining outside, but all good inside. So thank God. Yeah, the May showers thing. Never thought about that before. What do May showers bring? I don't know. They didn't tell us. Hey, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit. We started last week. We're talking about who the Holy Spirit is and what that means for us, because God says that he is pretty important for us to know about and to understand, and to understand what our relationship with him is if we're going to understand the life that God has called us into. And so we started last week. We're going to be in this for several weeks. But we're going to be reading from Luke 24, beginning this for this morning. And Luke 24 comes at the end of the gospel, because it's after Jesus is risen from the dead. And he's risen, but he's still hanging out, spending time with his disciples, because there are certain things that he still is needing to teach them and to kind of prepare them for. And so in Luke 24, verse 44 through 49, it says this. Jesus said to them, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said, see, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. And it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent, and you are the witnesses of these things. So now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but wait here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. I don't know if any of you guys in grade school ever did those projects, you know, where you take the seeds and you'd plant them in the Dixie cups, and you just hope they kind of, you're hoping that they grew. And you'd come in every day to your classroom and you'd check the Dixie cups, and then some people's plants are growing and other people's plants aren't doing so well, right? Remember that? Now, how many of you guys ever did that and you were successful? I mean, some of you may have even become gardeners as a result, right? Anybody? Raise your hands high. High and proud, right? I had like three in the first service. And I look out there and I'm amazed. I'm amazed that it worked for you, because for me, it always failed. Always. I would be, and usually they'd let you take the Dixie cup home, right? And I was the guy that was like prodding. I'm looking, I'm going, is anything happening yet? And you know, pull out the seed, right? Or else you forget to water it for like a whole week or 2 weeks, and then you go, oh, I got to make up for it, and then you pull it, you know, so it's full. So I'm just doing everything wrong. And for some reason, my plants would never grow. Every time I failed, and it was, a lot of it was because I couldn't wait, right? I couldn't just walk along in the timing and the process that it took for this plant to grow. I couldn't wait. I wanted to help it. I wanted it to happen faster. So I'm trying to encourage it and make it happen. And it didn't work. Why? Because there are some things that you just have to wait. It's part of the process. And things happen during those waiting times that are important. Things happen during those waiting times that are necessary if we're going to reach the other side and if we're going to be successful. We started talking last week about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We don't have a God who's one person, one God. We have a God who is a eternal community of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from eternity past to eternity future. That's who he has been, who he is, who he always will be. An eternal community of three. And it's that third person, this Holy Spirit, that we forget. We forget about. We forget and we don't know about. We don't understand him very well. And because of that, we were talking last week about how a lot of times that means that we go out our faith like, you know, God went back, and Jesus went back up into heaven. He sent me this message and I'm doing the best I can. And I just gotta kind of hold out until we get reunited with Jesus again so he can tell us whether we did okay or not. And we miss the fact that what he said was the Holy Spirit was going to be sent. this third person of this community. He was actually going to take up residence in us. He was going to live in and through us. We weren't alone, that he would be there to empower and to teach and to lead and to authorize and guide and show us how to live this life and this calling that God has called us into. So we saw last week, we need the Holy Spirit. He's not an option for those of us who say that we're following Jesus. He never was meant to be an option. He was a vital part and is a vital part of what it means to find the life that God has called us into. But just like it was with those plants, there are times in this kind of receiving the Spirit, because a lot of times we read like the book of Acts and we see the Holy Spirit comes and there's all this crazy stuff that happens. And all of a sudden these people, they're doing amazing things, miracles and speaking, you know, words and messages that are empowered by God. But there are some times when we pray and we ask, there are times in our growing into this life in the Spirit that it seems like God has us kind of on a holding pattern. It's in a waiting time. We go, what's that about? Why am I waiting? I've asked, why am I waiting now? But we look back at the history of the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of time, and we look at how God has, you know, the kind of the role that the Holy Spirit has played and God's intentions and all that. And we find, like we look at the book of Genesis, we find that the Holy Spirit was, he was there at the very beginning. God's creating the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Spirit's right there. So we know that the Holy Spirit was there to be given from the very beginning. He could have poured him out on Adam and Eve right away, but no, he waited. Why? We read in Ephesians chapter 1 that God's desire from before time began, before history began, before creation began, was that we would be the children of God. We read in Romans and in John 3 that to become the children of God, it's like we have to be, we were born physically into this world. We celebrate that in baptism and in dedications, and we celebrate that gift of new life. But we were born in this world physically, but he says, if you're going to be children of God, if you're going to be children, spiritual children of God, adopted into who he is and into this life and his family, we have to like be born anew through the Holy Spirit. And so we go, okay, so from the beginning of time, you've intended us to be your children. So it meant that the Holy Spirit was meant for us from before creation began. But we look back at history, and God's waiting. He waits for a long time. Even after his people are established, the people of Israel, and he comes in, and through their experience and through the prophets, he lets them know the Holy Spirit is vitally important. And they say, okay, so pour him out, but he waits. And then finally, Jesus comes. And Jesus, who is God himself in human flesh, but he's fully human, fully God, and he lives his life. And at his baptism, it says the Holy Spirit comes on him like a dove. It looks like a dove or something, but the Holy Spirit comes on him. And we get to see in the life of Jesus what a human life, fully human life looks like of someone who is aligned with God and filled with the Spirit. We go, okay, awesome, that's what we want. Obviously, that's what we were made for. And so we look at that and we say, why are we waiting? But God waits. In fact, even after Jesus rises from the dead, he spends 40 days hanging out with the disciples. They're waiting. He's telling them about the Spirit, but he's making them wait. And then he ascends into heaven and he sits at the right hand of God. Are you guys getting bored with this? Because it's like, that's a lot of waiting. I mean, you're asking me to wait just to hear about this thing. Even in the sermon, you're dragging this thing out. It's just too long. And even after he ascends and he sits at the right hand of God, he's sitting there for 10 days. They have to wait even longer before the Spirit comes. So here's the question that comes up, is if the Holy Spirit is so important to us, if he was intended from before even creation began, if he is the only way that we're going to ever discover the life that God has meant us for, if it's only by his presence and by his power, then why does God make us wait? Why would God make any of us wait? And why even now in our lives are there times, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but you're praying and you're saying, God, I just want to be used by you. I want you to fill me. I want you to make yourself known through me. I want the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I've been challenging you guys. Let's pray that God, let's pray to God and say, God, fill us to the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's a prayer from Ephesians. Fill us to the fullness of him who fills all in all, that we would reflect all that he is. And we pray this, we say, God, that's what I want. Fill me with your spirit. And in the book of Luke, it says, listen, you guys, even as parents in this broken world and as evil and broken as we can sometimes be, we as broken parents, we know how to give good things to our kids. So why would the Father ever, your heavenly Father, ever hold back the good gift of the Holy Spirit from those who ask him? So we know God wants us to have it, but we're praying and we say, why are you making me wait? Have you guys ever had that question? You go, God, why? Seems like now would be the perfect time. But there are times that he brings us in these times of waiting. We say, why? In Luke 24, we have an account, a story that happened with the disciples right after the resurrection. I mean, the women had been to the tomb. They had made the report. They said Jesus is alive. And there are these two disciples that are on their way to this town called Emmaus. And on the way, there's a stranger that joins them. And the stranger joins them, and they don't recognize it, but it's actually Jesus. And one of the questions, you go, well, how do you have, you're walking with Jesus. How do you not recognize him? But there's something about within, in his resurrected form, there were times he made himself known, and there were times that he kind of stayed hidden. This was one that he was kind of staying hidden. And they keep talking, and Jesus is kind of playing dumb. He's acting like he doesn't know all the stuff that they're talking about. And they turn to him finally at one point, and they say, how do you not know all the things that have happened in Jerusalem? You say you've been in the area here. How have you missed all this? And so we pick up the story in Luke 24, 19 through 27, and Jesus says to him, what things? Right? What things are you talking about? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And beside all this is the third day since these things happened, and some of the women who were among us, they've amazed us, because they were at the tomb early in the morning and they didn't find the body. And then they came and they said to us that they had seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. So then some of us who were with us, they went to the tomb again and they found it just like the women had said, but they didn't see him. And they're going on and on. And finally Jesus says, oh, you foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he began to explain to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now you guys, I want you to put this in a framework, in a context, because this is happening in that waiting time, in those 40, 50 days before the Spirit comes. Jesus has promised the Spirit's coming. He's even breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, but he's not here yet. And in this time of waiting, what is going on? Well, I want you to notice what they called Jesus at the beginning of this, their kind of description. They called Jesus, they said that he was a prophet, a mighty prophet, probably the greatest prophet they'd ever seen, mighty before God and before all the people, mighty in deed and in word, but he was just a prophet. 40 days later, after spending 40 days with Jesus and being taught by him and being seeing this resurrected person before them, they don't call him a prophet at the end of those 40 days anymore. They never refer to Jesus as a prophet ever again. Instead, they say, no, this was the Son of God. In fact, in Romans 4, Paul is writing about this, and he says, Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, according to the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's no longer just a prophet. Those 40 days were needed for them to wrap their heads around what was going on and who this Jesus was. Because at the beginning, going into it, they thought he was just a prophet. by the end of it, they said, no, that was God walking among us. How do you know? Well, because we saw him. He rose from the dead. We hung out with him for 40 days after he rose from the dead. It wasn't somebody else's story or tale that we believed. We saw him. We ate with him. They started learning things about this kingdom and about this resurrection life, that it wasn't just that we become all, you know, spirits and stuff. They said, no, he wasn't just like a ghost. He ate food with us. But he also kind of showed up and disappeared at different times. So there's something new going on, but there's something that we can relate to too. And they began to understand something about the nature of the kingdom of God that God was bringing them into. They started seeing who this Jesus was. They started seeing how important the scriptures were to describe for us and to help us understand, so that we could get our heads right about how we think about what God is doing and about what he's calling us to. It says that Jesus spent 40 days teaching them from the scriptures about himself, about the kingdom, and about the Spirit, and about the calling. The waiting times with God are not wasted times. The waiting times with God are times of preparation. The waiting times with God are times of preparation. It may be something that comes in the form of reframing. That's what it was for these disciples. They had things they needed to know. They needed to see Jesus differently if they were ever going to understand who the Holy Spirit was. They needed to understand the kingdom differently if they were going to go off and not try and make their own kingdom, but instead be investing themselves in God's kingdom. They needed to know some things differently. They needed to understand how important the scriptures were, that this was not just any old book or any old scroll that they had, but that this was God speaking to us and setting us up so that we could know things and we could see things when God revealed them. They needed to know that. And they needed to know that before the Spirit came. Because otherwise God would be empowering them and they'd go off with that power and they might do any one of a number of things. But it might not have anything to do with what God wanted to be about. So often these times of waiting are times of reframing. I think a question we have to ask ourselves does God have me in a time of waiting? Because I have some stuff I need to reframe. I have some stuff I need to learn. I have some stuff that he needs to teach me about who he is, about his kingdom that he's calling me to do work in, about his Holy Spirit who's there to empower me and to fill me. But I need to learn some things from his word. I need to just sit at the feet of Jesus and let him teach me for a while. And that might be you this morning. You might be here and saying, you know, that's okay, that makes sense. Well, if that's you, then dive in. Take the time that God has you waiting. You've been praying, God, I just want you to use me. And he says, I gotta tweak some stuff first. I need to help shape your mind. Well, let him do it. Give him the time so that when he's ready, you're ready. We find in the other Gospels, there are other stories about what Jesus did during these 40 days. At the end of the book of John, we find another one, and we find that sometimes God's time of preparation is a time of restoring. Because somehow we have broken faith with him or broken faith with each other. In this case, it was Peter. And we know the story of Peter during the crucifixion and the trials and all that. Peter had abandoned Jesus. Peter had just done all kinds of stuff. One of the things that he'd done is he had denied Jesus three times. He was there they asked him point blank, do you know this Jesus? He says, no, I don't know this guy. And he felt terrible about it. And he's going into this resurrection time, not sure if Jesus loves him or hates him, because he's failed him so badly. In fact, if you read the book of Mark, you know what you find out? Peter, very intentionally, because the book of Mark was written by Mark, but it was the accounts based on Peter's accounts. And Peter very intentionally puts himself in parallel with Judas. Because he says, Judas betrayed him, but I did too. And so we read at the end of the book of John, and Jesus sits down with Peter. He says, Peter, I got to know something. Do you love me? And Jesus uses this word that It means, do you love me? Do you deeply love me? Have you committed yourself to me so that I am yours and no other stands in front of me? Do you love me like that? And Peter says, Jesus, you know I love you like a friend. Uses a whole different word. He knows. He knows what he's done. He says, how can I even claim to love you like that? You know what I did. I love you like a friend. Jesus says, and take care of my sheep. Make sure to take care of my sheep. And he says again, he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me deeply? Do you love me like no other? Do you love me? And Peter says, Jesus, you know, I love you like a friend. He says, then watch after my flock. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you even love me like a friend? This is it broke Peter's heart. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you like a friend. He says, then tend to my lambs. He says, don't go betraying the flock. Don't go running away when danger comes. Take care of my sheep. If you love me, take care of my sheep. Be the leader that I called you to be. Step back into that place that, be that rock that I called you to be. Peter, take care of my flock. Sometimes we need to be restored. Sometimes we've broken faith with God. Sometimes we've broken faith with his people. He says, I have you in this waiting time because if you go in trying to follow the Holy Spirit and you're just bound and weighted down by guilt and by shame for what you've done and for what hasn't been restored yet, you're not going to be effective. He's not going to be able to use you. You're not going to let yourself be used. Just like Peter, he couldn't even bring himself to say, yes, Lord, I love you. So maybe you're in that spot. Maybe you're in a time of waiting. And you know God wants to use you to do great things, but he says, yeah, but we got to get some things straight first. We need to get some things right between us, or maybe you need to get some things right between you and some of your other brothers, your other sisters that are here in this congregation. You need to make some things right. Because I want to use you. I want to pour out my power into you, but there's some restoration that needs to happen. We read another story. In fact, it's just prior to that conversation that happens at the end of John there, and we find out the preparation time, this waiting time, sometimes is a time of recommissioning. You know, it says that Jesus had risen from the dead, the disciples had seen him, but he had, I don't know, maybe he had taken a couple of days, he was gone, and they were going, I don't know, maybe he's not coming back. So Peter gets up and he says, you know what, I'm going fishing. So I'm going to go back. We were fishermen before. I don't know what else to do. I'm going fishing. And the other guy's going, okay, we're coming with you. So they all get in the boat. They go out fishing. Now, these guys are professional fishermen. That's where Jesus found them. They know how to fish. But they're out there all night long. And they don't catch a thing. And they get to the morning. They're tired. They're frustrated. And they have some guy out on the shore. He calls out to him, hey, how's it going? They're like, really? Hecklers already? He says, and they go, he says, have you caught anything? No, I haven't caught anything. Try the other side of the boat. Try throwing the net on the other side of the boat. I'm like, really? You know, you have the armchair quarterbacks. This is like the seashore fishermen, right? He's like, try the other side. They're like, we're professionals. Come on. So they do. They throw the other side. They get more fish. They get so many fish, they don't know what to do with. They can barely bring them all in. They can barely get them to shore. And when Peter sees this, he goes, wait a second. I think that's Jesus. Dives off the boat, goes into shore, gets out, finds Jesus is sitting by a fire roasting fish. Where did he get those fish? He hadn't been fishing. But he's sitting there roasting fish, and they're hauling in all these fish that they caught more than they've ever seen. And we go, isn't that amazing? Jesus can do miracles. Jesus has that conversation with Peter at that point. And he also talks to the rest of his disciples and he says, I want you to follow me again. What is he saying in this story? These guys were fishermen and they're out all night and they fail. And with one word, Jesus makes them more successful than they've ever seen. He's saying, you know what? If I wanted you to be fishermen, I could make you fishermen. I could tell you which side of the boat to go off of every time. I could get the fish so they'd jump into your boat. I could get them to swim up to shore so you don't even have to go fishing and you could still have them for breakfast. I could do that if that's what I was calling you to be. But I'm not. I'm calling you to be those fishers of men and women, those who cast out the net for the kingdom. That's what I've called you to be. So I don't need you to be successful fishermen. But I do need you to follow me. You guys, they needed to refocus. They needed that call back to their original calling. They needed to be reminded of what Jesus wanted from their lives and in their lives. And this time of waiting was this time of recommissioning, of refocusing on who they were, so that when the Spirit came, they would be pursuing the things that God had called them to be and to do. I don't know, maybe you're in that spot, that you've kind of drifted off and you've lost sight. You've been distracted by either pursuits in this world or pursuits around you, and you're trying to do, maybe it's not just this over the kingdom of God, but you're trying to do all of it. You're trying to do this at least equal with the kingdom of God. Or you've convinced yourself that somehow this is the kingdom of God, and God keeps saying, no, no, wait a second, before I empower you, I just flood you with the Spirit, I got to have you kind of focus on what it is I've called you to be and what it is I've called you to do, because first, your calling is as an ambassador, a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand that? Because I need you to follow me. Finally, we find another story. It's right at the beginning. It's a time of establishing. This waiting time is a time of really it's reestablishing. Some of those who had been kind of cast off as not as important anymore, and God reestablishes them. Jesus reestablishes them as his people, his witnesses, those who will be doing the work of the Spirit in the kingdom as well. Did you notice in that account that we read who the first witnesses of the resurrection were? Yeah, it's Mary Magdalene, Salome. It's not the guys. It's not all the important people like Peter and James and John and all the 12 apostles. It's not them. It's the women. Why? Because Jesus said, before my Spirit comes, I want you guys to know something. This kingdom is going to mess some things up in this world. And it's going to reestablish some things that God always intended. And that is that if there's, in that day, in that culture, do you realize that women were counted as second-class citizens? They were seen as, their word was not, they wouldn't even use their testimony, their witness within a court, because they said it was unreliable. And Jesus says, you know who I'm going to use as my first witnesses? Women. Why? Because I want you to know something's being reestablished here. Something that was broken in Eden, something that was broken at the fall, and I'm putting it back together again. Men and women are not in competition and they're not in hierarchy. They are side by side working for the kingdom of God, filled with the Spirit. So that when the Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, he quoted the book of Joel and he said, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy where God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will be prophesying. Your sons and your daughters will be those who are proclaiming the kingdom and doing the work of the kingdom and filled with the Spirit and empowered to do the work of God. That my church will be not this church where half of the total population sees it as their task to do all the work, but where all of them, whether it's male or female, young or old, rich or poor, no matter what our ethnic or cultural background, whatever it is that God has called us equally to do the work. In Galatians it says, so no longer in Christ, there is no longer any male or female. There's no longer any slave or free. There's no longer any Jew or Greek. There's only us in Christ. And that happened in the waiting time. Why? Because Jesus needed to prepare his church for the coming of his Spirit. You guys, the waiting time that God with God is not waiting without purpose. Oftentimes we look at waiting times and we say, this is a time where we gripe about all that we don't have yet. Says that's not what waiting with God's about. Waiting with God is about preparing for what is to come. He has promised. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit of promise because he was promised to us and to our children and our children's children to the seventh generation. The Holy Spirit is for us. He intended it from before the world began. And so we are getting ready for what is to come, what has been promised, what will surely arrive. But it's like that seedling, it's like that project. There are things to do in that time that prepare us for that seed to become a plant, to take care of it. There are things that that seed needs to prepare and needs to grow before we're ready to take it. I want you to think about it too. If you go on a vacation, right? You're going to Acapulco. And you're going to take a flight there. You can't just sit around and say, okay, I'm all set, ready to go. You got to make sure you're packing, you're getting ready. You got to call down and make sure that everything's arranged for when you get there. You have to make sure that things are taken care of while you're gone. You have to make sure that you have a ride to the airport so when the airplane does take off, you're there to catch it, right? There are things to do. There's preparation. That's a waiting time. That's what waiting with God is like. It's making sure that we are in the right place at the right time so when the time comes, we're ready to go. Amen? So as I have challenged you guys to join me in praying these next 8 weeks, to be praying, God, fill us to the fullness of him who fills all in all. Fill us by the power of your Spirit. Fill us to be the fullness of Christ. Fill us so that we have everything you intended for us as individuals and as a community, that we would be your people, empowered by your Spirit. Led, guided, filled, walking with your Spirit. But in that time, as we pray that, get ready because God's probably going to bring us into these times of waiting. And let's make sure in those times of waiting that these don't become times where we whine or we pace or we start poking and prodding and trying to make things happen, right? But that instead, that we let it be a time when God can reframe us. Some of you guys need to get into the Word. You just need to get into the Word. You need to say, God, I need to know more about Jesus. I need to know more about your Spirit. I need to know more about your kingdom. Let it be a time of reframing. Let it be a time when God can restore you. Some of you guys know that you're at odds with God or you're at odds with each other. So let it be a time that God can restore you in terms of your relationship with him and can again remind you of his forgiveness and his grace and his calling on your life. And that you can be restored to his community of people, the church. Let it be a time when God can remind you of your true calling and your purpose. To focus, refocus, and remind you again, this is what I called you to. I could make you successful in this world if I wanted to, but I have called you to be successful in my kingdom. Let him refocus. Let it be a time when God shows you your true value, your true identity as his child, as his ambassador. The ambassador of his kingdom is that the one who is empowered by his Spirit, is born anew into his family. If we're going to be the people individually in the church as a community that God meant us to be, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? But if we're going to receive the Holy Spirit, if we're going to be filled with him to the fullness of him who fills all in all, God is probably going to bring us through a time of preparation. And in these time of preparation, so as we wait with expectancy, as we wait with hope, as we wait and see, God, what is it you need to prepare in me? And we make ourselves available. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep our ears open. Let's keep our focus right. Let's keep our hearts open to what God is doing. And let's keep praying. Let's keep calling out to God and say, God, fill us. Fill us to the fullness of him who fills all and will fill us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you that one of your greatest promises and gifts to us is your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the way that he is at work in us and he moves, and the way that he leads us and guides us. Father, we pray that we would be available to him as we walk through these times of waiting, these times of preparation, that we won't move too fast, that we won't run ahead of you, we won't drag behind, but we walk through this process, this time of waiting, as you prepare us to be your witnesses, to be your people, to be your ambassadors for your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, so that many would know your son, many would be brought into the life they were intended for. We pray these things in Jesus' name.